begin, as I usually do when I come up here, with an apology that Rashiva only told me at Ashrei that I'll be giving the shmooze. So if I make any mistakes, moichel me. The Gemara in Shabbos has a memra b'shem Rav Tanchum, Ner Shel Chanukah Shenicha Lemala Mechof Amah Psula. Ner Chanukah above 20 amas is posel. Right next to this memra is another memra of Rav Tanchum from this week's parasha, Ma'idichsiv Va'boy Reik Ein Boy Mayim. What is the pasuk telling us? There was no water in the pit. We know there's no water in it if it says it's empty. And Amal Tamaloyma, it's telling us, my main boy of Nechosh Makrov and Geish boy. There was no water in it, but there were snakes and scorpions in the pit. So we have to understand, what is the smichus? Why does it have these two memories next to each other of Rav Tanchum? Also, the pasuk itself is difficult to understand. Ruvain, Vayishma Ruvain, Vayatzileu Miyodom. Ruvain comes and he saves Yosef. How does he save Yosef? He saves Yosef by telling them to throw, by telling the brothers to throw Yosef in the pit. Al tishpchudam ishlichu Yosef laboyer. Throw in a pit. A pit that's snakes and scorpions. What's the purpose? How is he going to save him? Arachayim HaKadosh deals with this problem. If there's snakes and scorpions, he's going to die in any case. So what's the point of putting him in such a pit, and how is that going to save his life? So to understand this, we'll have to go through the Yesoides of Chanukah, at least one of the Yesoides of Chanukah. And it's important before one comes to a Yontov to be mechon beforehand what one can take out from a Yontov. The Shem Bishmol tells us there are two Yomim Tovim that have no Havdalah, and they are Chanukah and Purim. And of course they have no Havdalah because there's no Issa Melacha. Shabbos and Yontov have Kedusha. Shabbos and Yontov is a Kedusha, which that Kedusha, you make Havdalah, that disintegrates. That goes away, that Kedusha. Chanukah brings Kedusha to the weekday. Shabbos begins with lighting, and Chanukah begins. You light the menorah. You light up that weekday, the mundane. You light up that you make Choshech, you make Choil. With all its pressures, with all its stress, you light that up. And by the fact that you don't make Havdalah, says the Shem Mishmul, you can take all that Kedusha with you to the rest of your life, into the weekdays. And Oira can remain with us even after Chanukah. What light can we take from Chanukah? There was enough oil for one day. So, the famous Kasha, what was the nace of the first day? So you could ask a different question. You could ask, why did they bother to light in the first place? Why didn't they wait until they have oil? They're only going to be able to light the menorah for one day. The mitzvah of the menorah is lahalois ner tomid, to have a constant, a consistent light. They're not going to be able to have that. Why don't you wait till you can do the mitzvah properly? To light it one day and then have a week's break and then light again? What's the purpose? And this is a mistake we make. That's an attitude we have when it comes to mitzvahs. We say, let's wait till the next machzor of Shmiras Halasha. We always want to wait till the next time, do things properly. I'll start Daf Yomi next time. But that's a mistake. You've got to begin right now. Do what you can do, and leave the rest to Rabbeinu Shlom. A person's davening from Esrei. And again, oh, I didn't have Kavona. Next time I'll have Kavona. No, wherever you're up to, have Kavona there. Klal Yisrael realized, this is the wrong Hashkafa. Lo Yalecha HaMelocha Ligmo. HaMitzvah Ligmo. It's not on you to complete the mitzvah. You do yours, and the Ribbono Shel Olam will do. He'll show you what he wants. He'll show you, he'll give you Siyata Dishmaya. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for. And that is why the Ribbono Shel Olam made this nace. He made the nace oil lasted until they had new oil. What would have happened if the oil would have lasted 4 days? So we would have had 4 days Chanukah. But perhaps not. Not all Nisim have a Zecha. There's no Zecha for the Mon, no Zecha for the Be'er. What we're commemorating here is, we did ours, and the Ribbono Shel Olam showed us. That's what he wanted us to do. He gave us the Siyata Dishmaya. He completed it for us. That was the limit over here. And perhaps there wouldn't have been a purpose to have a Chanukah for 4 days. The first day is the main day to commemorate. The lesson that we did our Hishtadlus, whatever was in our power to do. There's a story by Mr. Weinstock. He lived in Cleveland. He was reading the newspaper He was looking at the obituary column. And he sees there that somebody was an old man that died in a nursing home. And it mentioned he was a Holocaust survivor. And there's no relatives that they know of. And tomorrow at 12 o'clock, they're going to cremate him. And if anybody wants to come to the cremation. He read this. He saw a Jewish name, a Holocaust survivor. He realized the person's a Yid. There's going to be a cremation. So he calls the hospital to see what he can do. And the hospital says, like, who are you? It didn't take any interest at all. So he starts making calls, different places, didn't help. Then he calls, there's somebody who gave a lot of money to the Cleveland Clinic. His name was Sam Miller. He's not from, but he gives him a call and he tells him the problem. Sam Miller says, you know, what can you do? I don't work with the hospital, there's nothing I can do. So he says to him, what do you mean, what can you do? Think about it. The ovens of Auschwitz weren't able to cremate this man, but the ovens of the Cleveland Clinic, they'll cremate him. And when Sam Miller heard that, he said, okay, I'll see what I can do for you. A half hour later, Sam Miller called him up and he said, he made the arrangements. He called a Chevra Kedisha, he can arrange a Leviah for him. And this person that had a regular Leviah, he had 10 people there, they said Kaddish there. Now, I don't know about you, but I know if I would have seen that obituary come in the newspaper, my reaction would have been, Nebuch, so sad. A Holocaust survivor, Nebuch, they're going to cremate him. At best, I would have made a call to the hospital, is there anything we can do? And that, no, nothing you can do. What can I do about it? This person didn't give up. He called and called. He spent hours until finally, again, he did his shtadlus. He had the Abdishmaya. He did what he had to do. So often in life, we give up too easily. The Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch, "B'chof hei b'kislev chesim eichanukah." And that's a strange lashon. On the 25th of Kislev is 8 days of Chanukah. So the Ramah adds in a word, "Maschilin chesim eichanukah." They begin on the 25th of Kislev. But what was the Mechaber writing? What he was telling us is that the Yontav of Chanukah is dependent on the first day. B'chof hei b'kislev on the 25th. That is the aside of Chesim Chanukah. The Klai Yisrael went and lit that menorah. There was enough for one day. They said, we'll do what we can do. It won't be lit the next day, but we'll do ours. And that is the aside of Chanukah. And this is what we have to carry into our lives, into the Mechoshech, into the weekdays. The menorah is placed below Ten Tefachim. Below Ten Tefachim, a place where the Shekhinah doesn't go, the Gemara says in Sukkah, below Ten Tefachim. We put the menorah there to teach us that even a mokum where it seems there's no Shekhinah there, even there, we could do mitzvahs. We have to do what we can. And the Rabbein Shlomo will give us the Yad Tishmaya. We're on a low level. It's a level. It's a Zman also, a Zman of Choshech. It's the only Yontav we have in the winter. The only Yontav in winter to show in this time, at a difficult time, a dark time, a cold time, we celebrate this Yontav of Chanukah. It's also the only Yontav we have at the Seif Chodesh. When already the moon is waning. At that time, it's the only yontav we have to show us. Any time we have, it's difficult times. We have to do what we can, and then the Ribbono Shel Olam will help us out. There was a story that spread a few years ago, an unbelievable story, of a man went to visit somebody in a nursing home. This man was 105 years old. And he made small talk with him. How's it, what's it like to be 105? He said, well, the best part of it, there's no peer pressure. But he was talking to him, and the man said to him, I'm very excited. He said to him, what are you excited about? He said, I'm excited because I'm waiting for the Moilad of Chodesh Cheshvan. He said, why? Excited about the Moilad? He says, yes. Because the Moilad of Chodesh Cheshvan is going to be at exactly 3 a.m. It's going to be without any chalokim at all, exactly on the hour. And it's very rare that the Moilad is exactly on the hour. The last time that happened, he said, was 87 years ago. I said, no, very nice. Is that something to be excited about? You know, it's a thing, you write in a shul bulletin maybe. The moedah is going to be on the hour. But what's the excitement? So he said, let me tell you where I was 87 years ago. It was World War I. It was 1918. And my officer in charge, he sent me on a mission. He sent me on a mission with sure death. And I told him that. What's the point? He said, this is war. You've got to do what you have to do. And this officer treated me badly until then. He was an anti-Semite. And I realized now he was trying to get rid of me. So I decided to run for my life. And I left the army. But I knew they were after me.
And that is, you get court-martialed. You get death for that. And I was hiding different places. I hid in barns. I hid wherever I could find a mokum. And I landed up in the Vina Beis Medrash. It was Shabbos, and the Gabba got up, and he announced the Meilad. And he said, the Meilad this year, this month, is a very special Meilad. The Meilad is exactly on the hour. It's something very rare. The next time it's going to happen is 87 years from now. And I give everybody a bracha. Shavarichas yomim. Be gesund and have a good life until then. And everybody laughed about it. So I thought to myself at that moment, 87 years? I'll be lucky to live 5 years. I'll be lucky to survive this war. And I thought to myself, what do you mean? There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. I have to have a mun in the Ribbono Shel Olam. And I said, amen, with all my kavana. I was the only person in the shul to answer amen. And I've been waiting 87 years for this moilad. We have to believe there's Ribbono Shel Olam who will give us the Yad Shamayah, who will help us. Moshe Rabbeinu, he set aside 3 Ori Miklot, even though it wouldn't take effect. They don't work at this moment. But you do what you can do. He was teaching that lesson to Klal Yisrael. And what do we see by the Chashmonaim? The Rashi tells us in V'zois HaBrocha, there were 12 or 13 Chashmonaim who fought against tens of thousands of Yevonim. What's the point? 13 against tens of thousands. There's no way you're going to win. Run for your life. But they went. They fought. And they had the Siyata Dishmaya. Shevet Levi, with their historic battle cry of Mila Hashem Eloi, they saw they had no choice at all. The Machtes HaShekel asks, why is Chanukah called Chanukah? They rested on the 25th. So he says, Chanukah should be called Chonu Beka. They rested on the 25th. Not Chanukah, Chonu Beka. So perhaps you could say pshat, that the Pasuk says in Lech Lecha, that Avraham is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go out and count the stars. Vayoyim, and the Pasuk says again, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Koy Yizarecho, that's how your children should be. And Rav Meir Shapira asks, why does it say twice in the Pasuk Vayoyim? So he explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, go out and count the stars. That's impossible to count the stars. But as soon as he said that to Avraham, Avraham had a mitzvah to do. Avraham ran outside that moment and started counting. Vayoyma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you're trying to do the impossible. Koy Yizarecho. He gave a bracha. That's how your children should be. They should always be trying to do the impossible. And so we could say that's the pshat over here as well. When the Chashmonaim went to fight, it was something which was impossible. But they went. They did what they could do. So we call the yontav Chanukah. Chanu, they rested. Who rested? Those people who were Mekayim, the Koy Yizarecho. They were Mekayim, the trying to do the impossible. They were Mekayim that Koy Yizarecho. And of course, they had this Yata Dishmaya. There's the famous story of Reb Moshe Melissa. When somebody came to him, an old man, he said to him, the doctors have told me I only have 2 weeks to live. And my shaila is, should I count Sfira with a bracha? Since I'm not going to be able to make it to the end of Sfira. So Rav Moshe Melissa told him, Moshe Lamar Dovadoyma, there was a boy who wanted a candy, and his father refused to give him. He had a bag of candies. So the boy went, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shakol Nieh B'Dvarei. And then the father felt he had no choice. He didn't want his son to make a bracha v'atola. He gave him a candy. Rav Moshe Melissa told him, you make the bracha, and then leave the rest to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this man, he made the bracha, and he lived through the Sfira. Chazal tell us, when one makes a bracha, you have to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. Then the Gemara asks, how do we know that the word oiva means beforehand? And the Gemara brings psukim. But it's very strange. If the Gemara wanted to say, how do you know you make a bracha before you do the mitzvah, let it use a simple lashon, koidem, lifnei. Use a lashon that means before. The Gemara writes a strange word, and then the Gemara asks, how do you know oiva means beforehand? And has to prove it means beforehand. Just say, make a bracha before you do the mitzvah. Obviously, he wanted to use this lashon of oiva. And what is the word oiva? It's the posik that means beforehand. The Gemara brings the posik. Vayaretz Achimatz derech hakikah. Achimatz ran the way of the plain. Vayavor es hakushi. He went in front of the kushi. He wanted to get to David HaMelech first. But the Cushi had left already. So they told Achimaaz, you're wasting your time. You're not going to get there. The Cushi left. And the Cushi can go very fast. He's going to beat you there. But he said, no, I'm going to do it. By Yorit Achimaaz, he ran. He found a shortcut. He went Derech Akika, and he got there before the Cushi. What do you see over here? You see, it seemed there's no way he can do it. But you go. You do what you can. He went, and he was Mekayimit. And you make a bracha, oyevel asiyosot. You make beforehand. It seems impossible. This mitzvah, how am I going to do it? No, you can do it. We make a bracha. V'tai libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. We say in one of the brachas of Shema Esrei and Yontov. V'tai libeinu la'avdecha be'emes. What are the chances of that? But you've got to make that bracha. You've got to do what you can and leave the rest to Borei Olam. The Pasuk tells us, loy b'shamayim hi. It's not in Shemayim. Torah mitzvahs, they're not in Shemayim. And Chazal say, v'mi b'shamayim, if it would be in Shemayim, hoya torach leilech achareo. You would have to go after the Torah. What does that mean? With a rocket ship? The Torah is not Shakespeare, it's not poetry. Chazal, when they say something, they mean something by it. What is the lesson over here? And the lesson, of course, is, loy b'shamayim hi, it's not in Shemayim. But there's times in our lives, it seems to be in Shemayim. It seems too difficult to do. It seems too difficult to wake up for Shacharis when I was at the stores half the night beforehand, busy. It seems sometimes I haven't got the koyach to learn at all. Rebbe, can I go and take a nap in the dorm? I get that question sometimes. I can't. No, you've got to do it. You've got to push yourself. You push yourself. The Ribbono Shel will give you Siyata Dishmaya. There's a children's story they always say over. There was a group of boys who somebody said to them, I'll give $100 to the boy who runs to the top of this building first, who gets there first. And they look at this building, and this building is like 100 floors high. And they look at the staircase there, and they see it's a narrow staircase. It's 95 degrees. So one says, there's no way. I'm going to get up maybe 2-3 flights. I'll be exhausted. Another one says, maybe I could do halfway. I'm not going to do it. One boy says, I'm going to do it. And he starts going up. They all start laughing at him. You're never going to make it. You're wasting your time. He goes and he starts running up. And they're waiting to see. They know he's going to come down a few minutes later, pouring the sweat. A few minutes later, 10 minutes later, they hear him at the top of the building shouting down to them. And they see him, they're waving. He comes down afterwards. They ask him, how did you do it so quickly? He said, well, what happened is I went up 10 flights of stairs. And over there, there's an elevator. And that took me to the top. And this is a marshal for our lives as well. We look up and it looks so difficult to do. You start doing. It's difficult at the beginning. But then the Ribbono Shel Olam, he provides the elevator. He gives us this Siyata Dishmaya. Lo yalecha hamalacha ligmor. It's not on us to complete. We've just got to do what we can. The Chofetz Chaim said, it's not for us to achieve. But it's for us to act. Achievement is in the province of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have a halacha in Chanukah to teach us this. And that is a strange halacha. Kovso ein zokoklo. The menorah went out. You don't have to relight it. Why not? You weren't mekayim the mitzvah yet. There's a zman. And you weren't mekayim. Why shouldn't you relight it? There's no bother to relight it. So why not? It's teaching us. Do what you can do. It didn't work out. The Ribbono Shel Olam is happy with what you did. You don't have to bother. And that is also in this week's parasha, what Reuven is teaching us over here. We have the halacha first, a menorah above 20 amas is possible. Above 20 amas is beyond reach. It's something we can't see. We don't have to do something we don't notice, we don't see at all. That's beyond us. But whatever was in our range, we can see it. It's difficult. 20 amas is difficult. 19 amas is difficult. It's far from us. But that's within range. Anything which is a possibility, that we've got to try and do. Only something which is beyond us completely, that we're potter from. Reuven saw they're about to kill Yosef. Yeah, they're going to kill him. What can I do? There's no way at this moment he's going to be able to stop them. But I'll do what I can do. Let's throw him in the pit. Yes, there's snakes and scorpions. It might not help much, but I'll do what I can do. I'll try. I'll do the most I can do. And he had him thrown in the pit. And the Ribbono Shel Olam took care of the rest. But it's better than killing him. He'll last longer, he's in the pit. He did what he could do. And then, of course, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes over. His purpose was, Leman Hetzlo Yisrael Yodim. He wanted to save them. He did what he could. And the Ribbono Shel Olam, he was matzal him. we also see in Chanukah that this is the only mitzvah. We have different levels of the mitzvah. We have the mitzvah, we have mahadrin, we have mahadrin min a mahadrin. Why do we have all these different levels? And again, it's to teach us, do the best in your circumstances. You can do the mitzvah, do the mitzvah. You're able to do better than that. If you're able to do mahadrin min a mahadrin, kalakavot, do that. And that's with all mitzvahs. Do whatever and the maximum that you can do. There's a story, and I have to say, when I heard this story the first time, I had my doubts about it. And one time, I was sitting in shul discussing the story and questioning the story, and then I got some information which helped me out. So let's start with the story. There was a Rebbe who went to Phoenix, Arizona. And it was very difficult living in Phoenix, Arizona. There was no mikveh for the Noshim there. His wife would have to travel 2 hours to be able to get mikveh Noshim. And there could be dust storms. It was difficult to get there. And so he spoke and told him, why don't we have a mikveh? He said, we've always been talking about it. It just didn't happen yet. So he talked with the principal, and they said, together, they're going to work on making a mikveh. They started fundraising, getting the money together. They got the money together, and they started building the mikveh. The mikveh was almost built, but they now had one technical problem. And the problem is how do you fill the mikveh with rainwater? It doesn't rain too much in Phoenix, Arizona. So they called Reb Moshe, and they asked Reb Moshe what you do. Reb Moshe said you get a flatbed track, you go to the mountains, and you put snow, it's got to be a wooden flatbed truck, you put snow on the truck, and you bring the snow and fill up the mikveh with snow. So according trying to find a company that has wooden flatbed trucks, they were having difficulty with that. And during that time, this Rebbe heard that they're expecting rain tomorrow. The weather forecast was for rain. So he tells the principal, the building is not finished yet, there's no roof. There's a tarp over the mikveh. Let's take the tarp off the mikveh, and we'll gather as much rainwater as we can get. So the principal laughed at him, and he said, it's a waste of time. It's all rain, a few drops of rain. It's not going to rain to fill a mikveh. So he said, let's try it, you've got nothing to lose. And he nudged him, so the principal said, okay, instead of your next raise, we'll do that. So they opened the tarp in the mikveh, and see what will happen the next day. The next day, this Rebbe is teaching, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the day, it starts raining, and raining, and raining. A heavy driving rain, a pelting rain, a rain like there's never seen in Phoenix. That day, it was difficult for the children to get home because they don't have much drainage there. He ran out there in his shirt sleeves just to stand there watching. The principal is out there, and they're watching the rain come down. It rained over the next 4 days. Off and on, it was raining, and it filled the mikveh completely. And like I said, I had trouble with this story until the person in shul told me, why didn't you go and speak to the person it happened to? And I said, who was the person it happened to? It's Rabbi Metzger in Yeshiva Spring Valley. He was the Rebbe. So I asked him about it. You can check with him the story. We have to do what we can do. And the Rebbein Shalom, he gives us Siyata Dishmaya. I went a few years ago to Eretz Yisrael, and I was going to go together with my mother. My mother was in London, so I went with British Airways, and I had a stopover in London, and then we both get the plane to Eretz Yisrael. That day in London, there was a terrible snowstorm. The roads were iced over, and it doesn't snow much there, so they don't have snow clearing. They don't have the equipment for it, so the city gets paralyzed for a day or two until it melts. So she had great difficulty in getting to the airport. She got there late, and she missed a plane. And she didn't really miss the plane. The plane was delayed for 3 hours. I was in the airport. She was in the airport. But because of all the delays, they'd given her seat to somebody else. They were happy to get somebody else onto the plane. And she was able that night to get a flight to Cyprus. And then from Cyprus, she got a flight to Eretz Yisrael. So I arrived in Yerushalayim, and 3 hours later went back to the airport to pick up my mother. She arrived, but her suitcase didn't. So this was now a Thursday night. Now she needed clothing for Shabbos. She called British Airways, and strangely enough, British Airways, they took the plane, and they said, well, we need to give you $300. We'll give you for clothing. So next day, my mother went to buy some clothing for Shabbos. And I asked her, how come you're spending all this money to buy the clothing? So she said, because Marjorie told me that I'm going to get repaid. I said, who? She said, Marjorie, British Airways. And I'm thinking to myself, Marjorie told her she's going to get paid back. Marjorie of British Airways. Marjorie, we believe. When the Rebbein Shalom tells us, don't worry, everything you pay for Shabbos will get back. And even those people, there's many who believe, I see, for Shabbos, they spend and they say, don't worry, I'm not worried, the Rebbein Shalom will give me back. That very same Gemara that says Shabbos says tuition also. I'm yet to meet somebody who comes to the tuition committee and says, I don't care what the tuition is. I get all the money back in any case. I'm waiting to hear that from somebody. You hear it about Shabbos, but not about tuition. Same Gemara exactly. So Marjorie in British Airways, we can believe. We have to believe the Rebbein Shalom as well. Chazal tell us you'll get the money back. You'll get the money back. We have to have a munah in the Rebbein Shalom. And then the Rebbein Shalom will supply us with what we need. We say in Hallel, Pischuli Shari Tzedek. Open up the Shari Tzedek. And the next pasuk says, Zeha Shal Hashem. This is the Shal Hashem. Shouldn't it first begin with Zeha Shal Hashem? This is the gate. And then when you get to that gate, then you say, Pischuli, open it up for me. Why is it in the wrong order? And I think the Beditshva explained, the pshat is that we come to the Rebbein Shalom and we say, Rebbein Shalom, Pischuli Shari Tzedek, open up for me. Where you come to the Rebbein Shalom and you have a Buddha and you come to the Rebbein Shalom to do things for you. Zeha Shal Hashem. That is the Shal Hashem. The Shari is where you come and you trust the Rebbein Shalom. Chazal tell us that our neves, zu Yavon, our neves, like a rabbit, that is the nation of Yavon, is represented by our neves, by a rabbit. When Talmei HaMelech wanted the 70 Chachomim to translate the Torah into Yavonis, so when they came to the word our neves in the Torah, they changed the word from our neves to Tziris Yadayim, short hands. Why did they change it? Because Talmud Melech's wife was our neves, and he'll say, they make latonos on me, they say my wife's name is here. So they changed it to Tziris Yadayim. What is Tziris Yadayim? Why is Yavon represented by an our neves, by a Tziris Yadayim? We see by Bastia, the daughter of Parai, that she wanted to take Moshe out of the water. She couldn't reach. But what did she do? She stretched her hand. She stretched out a hand and HaKadosh Baruch Hu extended a hand. She did what she could do and the Rebbein Shalom gave her Siyat Dishmaya. That is the opposite of Tziris Yadayim. Tziris Yadayim means you can't do. I'm limited. But she didn't say that. And that is not what Klal Yisrael does. But that was the Yisrael of Yavonim. The Yisrael of Yavonim, they look at what can a human accomplish? That is all we can do. So they are called Tziris Yadayim. Just end off with a story of there was a girl. She was an older girl already. She couldn't find a shidduch. And her uncle came to her before Purim. And he said to her that there's a skula on Purim. They say Gans Tehillim. You say the whole Tehillim. And the Rebbein Shalom listens to your tefillahs. So she said, okay, she'll listen to his advice. So came on Purim. And she told her parents to make sure for the next 2 hours nobody should bother her. She went to her room. And she said, and she davened Tehillim with Azak Havonim. And she was sure this year would be the year. And that year, she didn't get engaged. Comes close to Purim next year. Her uncle, he calls her up again. And he says to her, you know, the school of Purim should say the whole Tehillim. She thinks to herself, okay, I'll do it again. So again that Purim, again, she says the whole Tehillim. And again, she's davening, she really gets into it. And she's sure this year will be the year. And that year, she didn't get engaged. It comes the next Purim. And again he calls her. And she's thinking to herself, been there, done that, I'm not interested. But then she thinks to herself, one second, who am I to say that? There's a Rebbein Shalom. I have to have a mood in the Rebbein Shalom. And she says, yes, I'm going to say again. And she said to Tehillim again, with tears in her eyes. She cried through Tehillim a third time. And a few months later, towards the end of the year, really, it was, she gets engaged. And she gets engaged, and they get married. And this was the boy she had dreamed for. Everything about him, it's everything she wanted in a boy. Even 6 months later, it was everything she was looking for. And now, it comes to Purim the next year. And it's just before Purim. And the boy says to her, I want you to know that Purim for me is a very special day. And she says, why? He says, well, I've got to tell you something that you might not know. He said that I wasn't always like I am today. And Baruch Hashem, when you made inquiries about me, it was Siyata Dishmaya, nobody told you the exact truth. See, I wasn't behaving the way I was supposed to in yeshiva. I messed up very badly. And then it came, 1 year, I decided, on Purim, I got very inspired, and I said to myself, all of a sudden, Purim, this year, I'm going to be different. And it lasted a few weeks, and then those feelings dissipated. I went back to my old ways. The next Purim, I felt inspiration again, and I said, this year is going to be the year. And again, I started off, I changed. It lasted a few months, and again, it fell apart again. And then the next year, I thought again, this year, let me change. And then I thought, it never worked. I've tried it before. But finally, I said, yes, I'm going to do it. And I changed. And I became a different person. I became the person you know me as. And fortunately, when you made those inquiries about me, you didn't find out all those stories about me beforehand. And Baruch Hashem, we were able to get married. And then she told him the rest of the story. In life, we have to do ours. The pasuk tells us, "Kineshe yo'ir kinoi," like an eagle wakes up its young. Why is Rabbeinu Shlom compared to an eagle? And you can explain, like Rashi tells us, that an eagle is different to every other bird. Every bird carries its young below, because they're scared to carry their young on their back, because the eagles swoop down and take them away. But the eagle doesn't worry about any other bird. The eagle soars higher than any bird. So the eagle is able to carry its young on its back. And he says this way, if an archer shoots an arrow, the arrow will hit me and not my children. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is willing to take care of us, like an eagle takes care of its young. But we can ask a question. We understand how and the other ones pick up their birds. They lift them off the ground. But the little birds of the eagle, how do they get onto its back? The eagle cannot place them on its back. And the answer is very simple. They give a little jump. They make that little jump, and they get on the eagle's back. And then the eagle soars into the heights and protects them. But they have to first make that little jump. The Ribbono Shel Olam will protect us like an eagle. But we have to make that little jump. We have to do what we can do. The Chashmonaim, they did what they could do. And the Ribbono Shel Olam protected them. The Ribbono Shel Olam took care of them. We've got to do what we can do. Kov Zayin Zakakla. You did yours, it didn't work out. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not more asking for more than that. Above 20 Yamas, a Menorah Apostle. You don't have to worry if it's beyond you. You can't see it. But something you can see, as long as it's in your range, try. Do the best you can. Reuven did the best he could do. And what happened? Yosef got saved in the end. And if we do that, we can be sure the Ribbono Shel Olam will come. Vo'eseschem al kamfei deshorim. He will carry us away in eagle's wings. Vo'avi eschem elai. With the good of Shleimah, Mehir v'Yameinu. Amen.